This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi. ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لعب ولهو صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are 2 weeks into the new year, the Islamic New Year. Now we Muslims, we do not celebrate New Year, never mind we don't celebrate our own New Year, never mind celebrating the New Year of others. However, what we can do with regard to the New Year is, because a year passes by, it's a passing of time, we come to realize our own immortality, we come to realize the passing of our time. It's also a time for reflection and also perhaps a time for new beginnings. The new year always brings an aspect of new resolutions. People have new year resolutions, people have new beginnings. People have the situation of thinking that we are going to start off all afresh. The new year normally brings about a certain degree of inspiration. So there is some radiance and freshness with regard to our ideas, with regard to our inspirations, and with regard to turning a new leaf in terms of our life. And maybe a new year is also a time that we can forget some of the issues that have happened in the past few months in our communities, in our societies, and look afresh with regard to things. Now, I thought that I will use this time to speak about the lessons from the new year in our life. One of the first things that we hear with regard to it is that when we look at our new year, when the Sahaba got together and said, how must we start off? Where is the beginning point of our calendar? They needed a time with regard to the beginning of the calendar of the Islamic year. They all decided unanimously, and the unanimity of the Sahaba is a very great thing. It's almost, it's a dalil of Sharia, you know. So, لَن تَجْتَمِيَ أُمَّتِي عَلَى دَلَالَةٍ. Nabi Karim SAW said, the Ummah together collectively will never ever agree upon something that is wrong. By them reaching consensus, it's a very great evidence that there is great wisdom. It's divine. It's divinely inspired. They decided upon Hijrah as the beginning of the Islamic calendar. So, although there were many aspects, they could have started off with the Battle of Badr. They could have started off with the conquest of Makkah. Islam and our calendar did not begin with the pomp and splendor of Islam. It began with sacrifice. Hijrah required sacrifice. Hijrah required you to leave your environment. Hijrah required you to sometimes sacrifice your wealth. Hijrah required you to leave your environment, your home, your family, your financial interests. Many of the Sahaba had great financial lost that they left everything in Makkah and they went to Medina Munawwara. Our calendar started off not with the pomp and splendor of Islam, but with the sacrifice. So the first thing we learn with regard to Hijrah is sacrifice. And sometimes sacrifice can take different manifestation. Normally when we talk of sacrifice and we talk of bravery, then our bravery is with regard to, you know, exploits in the battlefield. There's no doubt there is this aspect. Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he showed such bravery in the battle of Uhud. He carried Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was wounded. And when the people started attacking Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he put his hand in front of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until that hand became paralyzed. Right? And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to say that the battle of Uhud belonged to Talha. Huh? The battle of Uhud was Talha's day. That is one sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your ego. And this is also a type of sacrifice, perhaps more needed now than any other type of sacrifice. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu was removed from being the general of the Muslim army by Umar, who had a particular reason for doing so. His reason was, People are starting to say Islam is gaining victory because of Khalid. And I wanted to show that Islam doesn't gain victory because of Khalid or anyone else. It gains victory because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he removed Khalid bin Walid from being the general. Someone came to Khalid and said, you are a general. Now in today's time, they would have perhaps gone to the CCMA. Huh? What happened? He fired me without any reason. Hazrat Khalid can say, there was not one battle he lost. Every battle he won. And yet I was removed. Someone said, why after Umar did something like this for you, how are you still continuing to fight in the Muslim army? So what did he say? Since when am I fighting for Umar? I'm fighting for Allah. I'm not fighting for Umar, I'm fighting for Allah. Is our actions motivated by some sincerity? That we don't worry what other person do with me. We only have the in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you have to give off your ego for the sake of a greater good. Or you have to give off your rights for the sake of a greater good. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, right? After Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred, for 6 months he remained the Khalifa, and that was part of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, right? Which Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention of. After that, despite the fact that he had greater numbers, he had greater emotions, he was the greater, the person who had right with regard to Khilafat. He gave off his Khilafat in favor of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which led to 27 years of peace in the Muslim Ummah. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day, he said, this grandson of mine is a leader. This grandson of mine is a leader. Through him, Allah ta'ala will bring two great groups of Muslims together and bring peace through him. He's a leader. Allah will bring peace through him. What a sacrifice. He forsook and he left his own rights with regard to it. And he gave it over to someone else. For what? For the sake of the greater good of the Ummah. Is this also a part of sacrifice? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ana za'imun bi baytin fi wasatil jannah liman taraka al-mara wa huwa muhiqqun." I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for a person who walks away from an argument while he is right. I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for someone who walks away from an argument while he is right. This argumentation, as Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, "Ma dhalla qawmun ba'da al-huda illa utul jadal." Some have said it is also a hadith that no nation becomes led astray after being upon the right path except through the means of argumentation. And Imam Malik used to say that argumentation takes away truth. We have fought so much and we argue so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid it becomes a manifestation of the saying of this hadith where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no nation is taken away from hidayat except through the means of argumentation. We need to bear this in mind and we need to make sacrifices in this regard. Hijrah teacher taught us sacrifice. In Makkah, what's the second lesson with regard to hijrah? In Makkah, all the commands were only to do with individual ibadat. Only to do with individual ibadat. Salat, imaniyat, and belief in the akhirat. That was with regard to Makkah. Look at all the ayats of Makkah. Smaller ayats, normally the greatness of Allah, akhirat and salat and zikr. In Medina we came, Medina taught us a collective life. Now you had a community. You had different types of community. You had two types of community. What I will say, intra-faith and interfaith. Intra-faith was the one in between Muslims. Let me give you an example what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught in this regard. He made the Muslims and he made the Muhajirin and Ansar and brothers unto one another. He made them brothers unto one another. What brotherhood? Ansar were prepared to sacrifice everything for the sake of their Muhajir brother. On one occasion, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got a little bit of spoils of war, a little bit of wealth. He called the Ansar of Medina. Oh Ansar, I've got this little bit of wealth. If I give it to all the Muslims in equality according to what is equality, everyone will get so little, the people of Makkah will get so little, it will not be enough for them to stand on their own 2 feet. Right? So either I do that, but you still look after them. Or either I only give it to the people of Makkah. Then you no more have to look after them because they will have enough capital to stand on their own 2 feet, they will become independent. What did the Ansar say? Ya Rasulullah, give it to them and we will still look after them. Give it to them and we will still look after them. Then Allah revealed the ayat, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَسَاسَةً. They give preference to others even if difficulty came their lot. Nabi Karim ﷺ said, the honor and the life and the blood of a Muslim is more sacred than the Kaaba and the Baytullah. Nabi Karim ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Umar said, Nabi Karim ﷺ was making tawaf one day and he looked up to the Kaaba and he said, very great is yawn. You are very, very great. You are very, very great. Your azmat is great. Your respect and honor and your sacredness is great. But I take an oath by the hand in whose my life is, the honor of a believer is even more sacred than your sacredness. I ask everyone in this gathering, I ask everyone to start thinking, do we regard the honor and the respect of the next believer, especially in the last few months, as sacred as the Kaaba and the Baytullah? Or is in our quest to score points, we have been able to desecrate the honor and the sacredness of others who perhaps have had a different opinion with regard to us? Hijrah taught us to learn together and to live together as a community, intra-faith and interfaith. So when Nabi Karim SAW came to Medina, he found a community in which there were people who were different faiths. He found there were Jews of Medina. So what did our beloved Nabi Karim SAW do? He set up a Mithaq-e Medina. What was a Mithaq-e Medina? It was a pact for the entire community to live together with harmony. Go and look at the pact of Medina. 47 clauses of how to live together as a community. We also, in our country, we have a responsibility that we are living in a community. Have we thought about the aspect with regard to living and how do we live with the community? Amongst our ulama, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullahi, used to emphasize this aspect with regard to communal harmony. He used to tell the Muslims of India after independence, learn Hindi that you can be good with your Hindu neighbors. He used to tell the Hindus, learn Urdu that you can be good with your Muslim neighbors. Today we take pride with regard to our non-Muslims who have stood up with regard to the azan in Ispingo. Can we say the same thing? Do we have the same type of relationship with our non-Muslim neighbors? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day was slaughtering a sheep. And when he was slaughtering the sheep, he told the people who were looking after the sheep, he said, please see to it that the first portion of that meat you give to the neighbor. Which neighbor, O Abdullah? Our Jewish neighbor, please see the first portion of the meat goes to him. Hijrah taught us community. Hijrah taught us interfaith and intrafaith, how to live together. And remember, we today talk about rights and we say we have a right, we have a constitution, we have our rights. Our rights will only be there on the basis of how much you put into it. You can't always take rights. You also have to give in something to be able to gain your rights. The third thing we learn with regard to the aspect with regard to, you know, hijrat is, hijrat was Islamophobia in reality. So when we talk about Islamophobia, what was hijrat? Hijrat was Islamophobia in reality. So you had a situation where Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaving Makkah because of what we would term in today's time, you know, categorize it as Islamophobia. The people of Makkah made it difficult for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the Sahaba to live there. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba had to leave Makkah. You will recall, it's made mention in the books of history, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came at one place. You know, he took an unusual route. And when he came to one place, there was a fork. The one fork was going towards Medina. The one fork was going back towards Makkah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried at that occasion. And he said, if it not, was it not because of the people of Makkah who had made it compulsory and had forced me to leave Makkah, I would not have left Makkah. Allah made it such. And there was a great wisdom that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Medina and it became known as Medina to Nabi. That's a different matter. So if you want to see Islamophobia in reality, you looked at what hijrat was. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forced to leave Makkah because of the people of Makkah. But what did he do? How did it change the situation? How did it change the situation? Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُكَ إِلَىٰ مَعَادٍ. The one who has revealed the Quran will bring you back to Makkah. He will bring you back to Makkah. And when he came back to Makkah, how did he treat with those people? How did it change the hearts of those people who treated him wrong? So the very same people who had thrown thorns on the path of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who were responsible for the death of his uncle, who had chewed the liver of his uncle, who had mutilated the body of his uncle. Amongst them were people who had been responsible for the death of his daughter. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated them with such conduct, with such graciousness, with such kindness that many, if not all of them, accepted Islam. So when you are faced with this, how do you deal with it? Hijrat taught us. Hijrat taught us that Nabi Karim SAW dealt with it, and how Nabi Karim SAW changed the tables, that those people who were responsible for it, how Nabi Karim SAW changed them through the means of his akhlaq. When Nabi Karim SAW was outside the haram, and he saw the people of Makkah, and he said, how do you think I'm going to treat you today? How do you think I'm going to treat you? They said, you are a person who is most gracious. We always known you to be a person who is good in conduct. Nabi Karim SAW said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. There is no reproach upon you. Go, I have forgiven you. So the third thing is, hijrat was Islamophobia. In practice, how did Nabi Karim SAW deal with it? Then another aspect with regard to hijrah was that hijrah was a journey. So hijrat happened by a journey. So when we learn that hijrat is a journey, we also come to realize we are all the time, constantly in journey. كُنْ فِي الدَّنْيَا كَنَّكَ غَرِيبُ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ Nabi Karim SAW said, live in this world as if you are a traveler. Live in this world as if you are a traveler. إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَزِرِ الْمَسَىٰ When you come to the morning, don't expect to be alive in the evening. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَزِرِ السَّبَىٰ When you come to the evening, don't expect to be alive in the morning. So this is a journey. Our journey has started off, you know, from the time when we came out of the wombs of our mother, and we have an abode, we have a destination. What's our destination? يَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا says Allah in the Holy Quran. Our destination is Jannah. I always tell people always fighting for land. Nowadays, a lot of people are going to India and they're fighting all the time for land, fighting for Warsaw. They say a person was one day crying. So then, why are you crying? He said, you know, look at the situation. Why are you crying? You're looking so depressed. He said, let me tell you what my situation is. He said, two years ago, someone very close of mine, my great-great-grandfather, you know, someone passed away, and somehow or the other, his land was sold. And I got 300,000, I got half a million rand from that particular inheritance. Okay, then why are you crying? He said, 6 months from my mother's side also, actually something like this happened. Someone died from her side. And the land was distributed. The land was sold. I got so much money. She said, then why are you crying? He said, this one, no one passed away. If you want to really look at Warsaw, your real Warsaw is Jannat. Where did your forefather come from? If you want to fight for Warsaw, if you want to fight for your destination, you want to fight for the place where you really came from, then go and fight for Jannah. So hijrat was a journey which tells us we are constantly in a journey. Even when a person passes away, he's not gone anywhere. He's gone from one place to another place. He's not obliterated. It's part of his journey. And our journey, inshallah, will enter into Jannah. Hijrah is a journey. Our journey will conclude in Jannah. And lastly, let me say, Hijrah taught us to have hope. Hijrah taught us to have hope. Nabi Karim SAW was forced to leave his homeland. And then afterwards, all victories that came in Islam, from conquest of Makkah, from Badr, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, all came about because of Hijrah. Look at what happened. He left his home. He left his environment. He made sacrifice. And what Allah Ta'ala granted him. This is the situation. What did he tell Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? While in Hijrah, two people against a whole city. La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Don't ever be afraid. Allah is with us. Let me conclude with this incident of Suraqah bin Malik. Suraqah bin Malik came to look after. He came to look for the 100 camels that he would get if he get Nabi Karim SAW dead or alive in front of the people of Makkah. So he saw Nabi Karim SAW. He realized that Nabi SAW won't take the normal route, so he followed Nabi SAW on the coast. He saw Nabi Karim SAW, so he dashed at Nabi Karim SAW. And Nabi SAW made dua, and Suraqah bin Malik and his conveyance went down, knee deep into the ground. Right? So Nabi Karim SAW, then he realized this is a miracle of Nabi SAW. So he came out of there. He said, ask Nabi SAW, free me. Nabi SAW made dua, freed him. Again he dashed. Because now he was looking at 100 camels. He was looking at the reward. After a while, after many times it happened, Nabi SAW said, Suraqah, what are you worried about? You worried about 100 camels. Remember, the time will come when the wealth of the Persian Empire will be at the hands of the Muslims. This is always having hope. You are fleeing an entire city, you are alone with one companion. And you are telling the person, what are you worried about? Allah will grant us victory over the Persian Empire. That time no one could even consider it. So these are the lessons that you can learn from Hijrah, which I have tried to enumerate in a short period that we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the topic of making amal upon it. May Allah ta'ala make us realize what are the lessons that we can learn. There are many things that we can learn. Let us start looking beyond furu'i and looking beyond masail in which there is difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Look beyond that and look at all of these things that Nabi Al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us with his legacy. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.